Blog Talk Radio.
This is a state of emergency. The black man must believe in the existence of God. Black men must respect one another. The black man must respect the black woman. The black man must take care of his children. The black man must make sure his children are educated, teach them about their culture. The black man must take care of his health. The black man must get an annual checkup from his doctor. The black man must drink 8 glasses of water on a daily basis to have a balanced system, and he must eat the proper foods for longevity. The black man must take his children to school as much as possible and help them with their homework. The black man must get as much education as possible. Education means power. Must choose education over the prison industrial complex. You don't want to be a slave. The black man must teach his son how to be a man. Black men must teach their sons to respect black women and girls. The black man must speak the truth. Black man must realize fear is the mind killer. The black man must only fear God. Black men must support each other during the good times and the bad times. The black man must keep his community clean. Black man must respect all of God's creatures. The black man must bring peace to Mother Earth. The black man must communicate with his woman so there can be harmony in the universe. The black man must protect his family from all negative stimuli that is trying to destroy him. Black man must be well groomed, because you know we have to represent. The black man must stay focused on doing the right thing. The black man must give direction to our youth, boys and girls. Black man must abstain from drinking alcohol and using drugs because it is destroying our community. The black man must enjoy life and the positive things it has to offer. The black man must look to God for direction and guidance. The black man must become an economic force in his community. He must do for self. The black man must help the less fortunate. The black man must become a leader in the world and not a follower. The black man must control his image, his music, and his mind. A man who does not control his destiny will be controlled by others. The black man must stop all black-on-black crime in his community. Black man, if you can't love yourself, how can you expect someone else to love you? who you rise, O eternal God. You are radiant, lovely, powerful. Your love is great, all-encompassing. Amen. This is the Conscious Mind Force.
Right, we come in this evening as usual. Thank you all for joining me this evening. Black Think Network, but we're back. If you're going through this storm, you know, be safe out there. Keep your safe. You know, may not have been able to wait. Literally, those who didn't have resources, definitely check on them the next 4 or 5 days or so. That also check on your family who might be incarcerated. Make sure you check on them too. Doing the same thing here. They're basically leaving the inmates to fend for themselves. If things get too bad, that's what will happen. So definitely check on them. With that being said, today we're going to talk about storms, spiritual and otherwise. And I'm going to do a little reading. First, I'm going to take a little break, and not a break, but I'm going to play a spoken piece, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
So I'm driving down the street with my 4-year-old nephew. He knocking back a juice box, me a Snapple. Today, y'all, we are doing manly shit. I love watching the way his mind works. He asks a million questions. Uncle, why is the sky blue? Uncle, how do cars go? Uncle, why don't dogs talk? Uncle, uncle, uncle. He asks uncle, uncle, uncle. He asks uncle, 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 as if his voice box is a warp record. I try my best to answer every question I do. I say it's because the way the sun lights up the outer space. It's because engines make the wheels go. It's because their minds aren't quite like ours. I say yes, no, no, yes, no, yes, no. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we laugh. He smiles, looks out the window, spots the cop car, drops his seat and says, oh, man, Uncle, 5-0, we gotta hide. I'll be honest. Not happy with the way we raise our black boys. Don't like the fact that he learned to hide from the cops well before he knew how to read. Angrier that his survival depends more on his ability to deal with authorities than it does his own literacy. Get up, I yell at him. In this car, in this family, we are not afraid of the law. I wonder if he can hear the uncertainty in my voice. Is today the day he learns that uncle is willing to lie to him? That I'm more human than I am hero. We both know the truth is far more complex than do not hide. Both know too many black boys who disappeared, names lost, know too many Trayvon Martins, Oscar Grants, and Abner Louimas, know too many Sean Bells and Amadou Diallos, know too well that we are the hard-boiled sons of Emmett Till still. We both know it's not about whether or not the shooter is racist. It's about how poor black boys are treated as problems well before we're treated as people. Black boys in this country cannot afford to play cops and robbers. robbers if we're always considered the latter. Don't have the luxuries of playing war if we're already in one. Where I'm from, seeing cop cars drive down the street feels a lot like low-flying planes in New York City. Where I'm from, routine traffic stops are more like minefields. Any wrong move could very well mean your life. And how do I look my nephew in his apple face and tell him to be strong when we both know black boys who are murdered every day simply for standing up for themselves? I take him by the hand. I say, be strong. I tell him, I say, be smart. Be kind and polite. Know your laws. Be aware of how quickly your hand moves to pocket for wallet or ID. Be more aware of how quickly an officer's hand moves to holster for gun. Be black. Be a boy. Have fun. Because this world will force you to become a man far more quickly than you'll ever have to need to. He lets go of my hand, but uncle, he asks. Uncle, what happens if the cop is really mad? And it scares me to know that he, like so many other black boys, getting ready for a war I can't prepare him for.
And there's one thing you have to get through your mind and keep it. Nothing that ever came from the European mind was meant to do anything but facilitate European domination of the world. Everything, every idea, every so-called religion was meant to dominate and to control. You were the ones with the illusions. Why is it that you were so naive? You let people redress something that you invented, sell it back to you, and enslave you through it. Our relationship with the people of the world and the fact that we created peaceful nations that had no word for jail because no one had ever gone to one. No word for old people's home because no one ever threw away grandma and grandpa. No word for orphanage. We did all of this, and over half of human civilization was over before we knew that a European was in the world. Before we wore a shoe or lived in a house that had a window. Now, Africa has always and still is the prize for the whole world. We have always been the prize because we have always had and still have something that other people won't, think they can't do without, and don't care to pay for. Because we have always been the prize, we have been under siege for over 3,000 years. The main thing imperialism did, slavery and imperialism, they removed African people from the respectful commentary of history. When they discovered you, they began to prey on you. And what we have to understand now, in the period of superior brainwashing, is there is no European answer for African problems. Either Africans find a solution to African problems, or there is no solution. And if you don't find a solution soon, you go back into slavery. We have to stop all of this nonsense about who belongs to what religion, when all of them were imposed on us in the first place. We stop all this fight between Muslims and Christians when neither one of the religions are doing them any good or moving them toward independence. All of them are handmaidens of conquerors. All of them are religions of conquerors. We were naive when we accepted their interpretation of something that we had all along. I'm saying we need to take a good look at ourselves. I'm not talking about burning churches. I'm not talking about getting rid of religion. Understand me well. I am saying that every single thing that touches your life, religious, socially, and politically, must be an instrument of your liberation, or you must throw it into the ash can of history. We've been the victims of propaganda. Now, the Bible that you get so dewy-eyed over is one of the greatest pieces of propaganda ever written. If you want to read the Bible, why don't you read the Bible one day and read Mein Kampf the next day and see the comparison? That's hard on your mind, because you think if you don't have Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, you don't have that spirituality. I've got more spirituality after I put all of them down. A lot of people need to stop reading some religious books and read some straight history without faith, fable, without supposition, without myth. Read straight history. The Europeans doing the slave trade, not only read the African out of history. They colonized history. They colonized information about history. That what you have to do is take a holistic look. Now that, not only at your position in the world, but your potential in the world. But if there are a billion of you on the face of this earth, scattered all over the world, what do you need with the friends other than yourself? Why can't you turn inward on yourself and say, I will wear no clothes I don't produce. Start with your underwear. I wear no shoes that's not made by a brother. You're creating a shoe factory, employment at once. Start buying airplanes, break them down and study them, later on make airplanes. What this whole thing is about is the restoration of confidence. It has been the role of these handmaidens of colonialism to destroy your confidence in yourself. We produced the first human society that said you can't be a king unless you got a queen. You can't be a god unless you got a goddess. We got confused with someone else's ideas, someone else's concept and definition of us. What we have to understand is that faith has not spared us for an idle reason. What is there in us that made us strong enough to take this heavy blow? 500 years of slavery, one way or the other. Slavery, neocolonialism. What made us strong enough to survive? What has faith saved us to do? And inasmuch as we gave the world its first humanity, faith has saved us to give the world its last humanity. What we have to do is to believe it, to believe that we are worthy of it, and to believe that we are capable of it. What black studies should be about, what black religion should be about, is the restoration of the confidence. And the restoration of the confidence is we must rule the state again. Then, in coordination with other African people throughout the world, we will give the world a new lease on life. We must answer the call of the great African-American poet, Margaret Walker, who said, let the dirges end, let a new peace begin. Let us write a new covenant for the freedom of ourselves in the world. African men throughout the world need to step forward and answer Sister Margaret and say, Sister Margaret, we have heard your call. With our women at our side, we are ready to pick up the challenge. We are ready to start a revolution that will change the world. We won't get ready tomorrow because tomorrow's things are left to tomorrow. We will start our revolution right now, and we will start it with ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you. standing in the ruins of another black man's life, or flying through the valley, separating day and night. I am death, cried the vulture, for the people of the light, light. Charon brought his raft from the sea that sails on souls. I saw the scavenger departing, taking warm hearts to the cold. He knew the ghetto was a haven for the meanest creature ever known. In a wilderness of heartbreak and a desert of despair, evil's clarion of justice shrieks the cry of naked terror, taking babies from their mamas, leaving grief beyond compare. So if you see the vulture coming, flying circles in your mind, remember there is no escaping, for he will follow close behind. Only promise me a battle, battle for your soul and mine, and mine.
It's just like when you got some coffee that's too black, which means it's too strong. What you do, you integrate it with cream. You make it weak. If you pour too much cream in, you won't even know you ever had coffee. It used to be hot, it becomes cool. It used to be strong, it becomes weak. It used to wake you up, now it will put you to sleep. They joined it. They didn't integrate it, they infiltrated it. They joined it, became a part of it, took it over. And as they took it over, it lost its militancy. They ceased to be angry. They ceased to be hot. They ceased to be uncompromising. A circus. Nothing but a circus with clowns and all. And I saw it on television with clowns leading, white clowns and black clowns. I know you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you anyway. No, it was a sellout. It was a takeover. They controlled it so tight, they told those Negroes what time to hit town, how to come, where to stop, what sign to carry, what song to sing, what speech they could make and what speech they couldn't make, and then told them to get out of town by sundown. And every one of those toms were out of town by sundown. Now, I know you don't like my saying this, but I can back it up. It was a circus, a performance. It beat anything Hollywood could ever do. The performance of the year.
Jay-Z.
And those other three devils should get a Academy Award for the best actors because they acted like they really loved Negroes and fooled a whole lot of Negroes. They realized all over the world where a dark man was being oppressed, he was being oppressed by the white man. Where the dark man was being exploited, he was being exploited by the white man. So they got together under this basis that they had a common enemy. And when you and I here in Detroit and in Michigan and in America, who have been awakened today, look around us, we too realize here in America, we all have a common enemy. Whether he's in Georgia or Michigan, whether he's in California or New York, he's the same man. Blue eyes and blonde hair and pale skin. Same man. Don't let the enemy know that you got a disagreement. Instead of us airing our differences in public, we have to realize we're all the same family. And when you have a family squabble, you don't get out on the sidewalk. If you do, everybody calls you uncouth, unrefined, uncivilized, savage. If you don't make it at home, you settle it at home. You get in the closet, argue it out behind closed doors. And then when you come out on the street, you pose a common front, a united front. And this is what we need to do in the community and in the city and in the state. We need to stop airing our differences in front of the white man. Put the white man out of our meeting, number one. And then sit down and talk shop with each other. That's all you gotta do. These Negroes aren't asking for no nation. They're trying to crawl back on the plantation. A revolution is bloody. Revolution is hostile. Revolution knows no compromise. Revolution overturns and destroys everything that gets in its way. And you sitting around here like a knot on the wall saying I'm going to love these folks no matter how much they hate me. No, you need a revolution.
In the last 500 years, black people in this area of the world, we can say that there's no such thing as black culture. What there is what the system of racism, white supremacy programs black people to do. You see, in other words, if the system of racism, white supremacy says, you are not going to be scientist. You are not going to be highly functioning doctors and lawyers and teachers. You are not going to have stable family life. You are not going to respect sex. Now, your role is to entertain me so you can jump up and down and sing. You can dance, and yes, you're good at sports. You can do that in some venues. That's what I'm going to allow you to do. I'm not going to allow you to have stable communities, because if you have a Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'm going to burn that down. If you think you're going to stabilize a so-called middle-class community and you're going to have a home that's mortgaged, I'm going to see that those mortgages are foreclosed so that you can be into family dissolution, place of living dissolved. So what we can say is that we have an imposed culture under the power dynamics of racism, white supremacy. See, I can see right now in my mind the picture of Beyonce with her legs wide open at the Super Bowl for last year. It was so appalling to me, I can't get it out of my mind in terms of what has been done to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we would be wiser. No, we are trying to get ourselves to the point where we can establish what we would then call black culture, but we will no longer be victims of a system of racism, white supremacy. So once the system of racism, white supremacy has been replaced with a system of justice, that's when we will start talking about our culture. That's when we will begin talking about who we really are as black people.
This is the Black Think Tank Radio Network. Call us at 646-564-9948. Press 1 to join the conversation. Join the chat room or listen via the show link. We appreciate your thoughts and participation. Each one teach one, each one respect one. Peace and enjoy the program.
Black history is taught like this. You started off as a slave, then white folks felt bad and decided to free you, then civil rights legislation made you equal, and finally you achieved victory with Obama's election. The end. Of course, that is ridiculous. That is the white supremacist version of black history. The end result of this miseducation is that black children are separated from their own people's legacy and historical achievements. Everybody in the world has the right to draw inspiration from their own people's legacy. And this right is robbed from black children because their history is actively hidden, distorted, and replaced with make-believe. For this video, we will carefully cover the facts on how black people became liberated from American chattel slavery. The miseducational system has taught us three gigantic myths about the freeing of the slaves. The first myth is that there was only some slave rebellions here and there, but not any kind of large-scale military resistance to slavery initiated and carried out by black men. The second myth is that any slaves who wanted freedom basically fled north to be granted freedom. The third myth is that the Civil War was the primary event that ended chattel slavery. The reality is that there was a series of battles, revolts, and rebellions that lasted from 1739 to 1858. This was the Gullah War. That is more than 100 years of warfare totally hidden from the American history books. A lot of this history was disguised as the Seminole Wars. First of all, the Seminoles were not a real Native American tribe. They were Native Americans allied with and often led by black Africans. Seminole literally means runaway. Maroon means fugitive. Gullah refers to the black African. The Emancipation Proclamation was a staged event, and it was designed to stop and historically hide the self-liberation process of Africans in America. Africans were brought into the Anglo-American New World Order, and many of these Africans maintained the goal to kill, crush, and destroy white supremacy. 1739, the Gullah War begins. Carolina was about to pass the Security Act, which would require whites to be armed more often to prevent a slave uprising. So the slaves decided that this was the time to strike. About 20 of them went to the local store, stocked up on guns and ammo, killed the shopkeeper, and began the Stono Rebellion. The rebels marched, and as they marched, their following grew larger and larger. They chanted out liberty as they marched, chasing the slave owners, killing them, and burning their houses down. After the rebellion, South Carolina passed the Negro Act, which prevented a future rebellion by limiting the rights of the slaves. From that point in time until 1812, the Gullah were fighting continuous battles against the state militia in Florida. Spain was fighting against the American colonists for land in Florida. The Spanish started arming the Gullah and providing them with military training. The Gullah used this military equipment and training to defend their own free, independent black towns. The first black town in North America was called Garcia Real de Santa Teresa de Mose. It was built by the black man and officially recognized later by the Spanish lieutenant General Montiano in 1738. This black town was a place that slaves could escape to have their own land and receive military training. 1814, Andrew Jackson defeated the Native American Creek Confederation. He imposed on them the Treaty of Fort Jackson, which basically stole their land. So Chief Sacafoca led thousands of his warriors to Florida and joined forces with the mighty Gullah Nation. The so-called Indian Wars were actually the Gullah Wars. General Thomas Jessup said, "Throughout my operations, I found the Negroes the most active and determined warriors, and during the conferences with the Indian chiefs, I ascertained that they exercised an almost controlling influence over them. This, you may be assured, is a Negro and not an Indian war." 1816, the Battle of Negro Fort. Negro Fort was a structure built by the British and occupied and led by black Gullahs. Andrew Jackson ordered Colonel Clinch to destroy Negro Fort. After they destroyed Negro Fort, Andrew Jackson ordered the torture of the leaders and the enslavement of the black captives. This was a historical turning point in Gullah military strategy. The Gullah leaders who escaped decided that they would never again use the British strategy of fighting from a fixed fortified position. They decided instead that they would return to using the traditional Gullah method of guerrilla warfare, which involved striking and vanishing, luring the enemy into strange areas, the forest, the pasture, the swamp. They had the advantage with decentralized warfare because they knew the land better. As more and more slaves fled south for freedom, thousands of U.S. soldiers died at the hands of the superior Gullah warriors. 1818, the Battle of Suwanee. A stretch of towns along the Suwanee River was occupied by a series of self-sufficient Native American and Gullah colonies. Once again, General Andrew Jackson came to terrorize and invade them. The Gullah and the Native American warriors, allied in the swamps, inflicted heavy damage on the invading army. Andrew Jackson was defeated by the Gullahs, however, he fraudulently claimed the battle as a victory. After the Gullah warriors and their allies disappeared into the swamps, Andrew Jackson exacted revenge against them by slaughtering a nearby settlement of their women and children. The killing of women and children was the only victory Andrew Jackson achieved in the Battle of Suwanee. This black history was actively hidden. Whenever the word black or Negro or African were mentioned in war reports, the words were simply omitted or replaced with an asterisk. The Gullah Wars were also hidden from the newspapers so they wouldn't scare away potential European settlers. Real American history shows that the black man was destroying the institution of slavery. 1822. The resistance had grown completely out of control of the United States government. In Charleston, South Carolina, almost all the slaves in the area had joined a movement to carry out a massive slave revolt. What white people had not considered is that every time you capture a free Gullah warrior and sell him into slavery, the Gullah warrior will only spread his own knowledge amongst the new slaves he's living with. This rebellion was to be led by Denmark Vesey and his lieutenant Peter Poyoff. 9,000 slaves were planning to revolt that day. However, the revolt never actually took place because cowardly black people involved with the movement informed the white colonists of these plans. Everyone involved ended up being executed or sold away to another plantation. 1835, the victory over the King Fort Relief, otherwise known as the Dade Massacre. The reason it was recorded as a massacre instead of a battle was to hide the fact that it was a legitimate military victory for the black Gullah. Also in 1835, the U.S. Army suffered another defeat at the Withlacoochee River, forcing General Gaines to leave Florida. 1837, Colonel Taylor claimed the Battle of Lake Okeechobee as a victory for the United States. In reality, the Gullah warriors and the Native Americans had already started fleeing the area and spreading the Gullah resistance to other parts of America. The real war that ended slavery was not the Civil War, it was the Gullah War. It was Native Americans and black Muslim Gullahs against the white Christian colonists. The so-called Civil War was carried out for elitist banking and business interests, and it also served as a formality, a ceremonial ending to chattel slavery. In reality, slavery ended in America because it couldn't be maintained against the constant guerrilla attacks, and the only way to stop those attacks was to make slavery illegal. The free black man would not tolerate slavery. Therefore, it came to an end.
All right, that was some of our story that you just heard there, the history or our story of the Gula Wars. That's something that they don't talk about. Slavery couldn't be maintained or contained, you know. So it was definitely inevitable for it to end in America. And while they had people that were basically fighting to end it on the government side, you know, we had warriors that were out here that were really, truly basically kicking butt out here in the fields and in the trenches, you know, which is always needed. So that's a lesson to be learned from that, because you don't get anything done by sitting still, you know. And at some point, we have to say that talk is cheap. And my thing is, you know, if you're comfortable with the way that things are, then things will never change. So definitely, that's something that, you know, we always need to look at. So I wanted to read a piece from the meaning of the true meaning of hurricanes, spiritual level. People always ask the question, well, you know, why, you know, do we get these hurricanes? Why are we always being devastated by these hurricanes? And it's, you know, with storms, period, there's a spiritual leaning and a spiritual meaning. So I'll read this. The true meaning of the hurricane: the spirit of the African woman has been stolen, beaten, raped, murdered, and thrown overboard. The slave and two enslaved lands. This is why all hurricanes start at the same point of exodus of Africa, the post of the Atlantic slave trade, and hit every stop where slaves were sold, all through the Caribbean and American coast, etc. So is it the revenge of the ancestors? You never know. But I can tell you this much: where Dylann Roof was allowed to walk into a church and kill nine black church members, you notice these two last hurricanes, you notice where they hit. So some people can laugh, but the same things that makes you laugh will make you cry. That's what I'm going to say. But even if you look at where some of these devastating tornadoes come from, and what was done in the Midwest to Africans and Native Americans, and Native Americans and Africans, you know, Trail of Tears, all of that, you know, that the ancestors have a way of getting even. And I just want everybody to know that. And when you mess with God's people, well, you do have some atoning to do, and you're going to have to do it one way or the other. So you find that very interesting, and I'm going to do some more research on that to bring you a little bit more information on that. But definitely, we I'm going to revisit some of that. The work, the Revolutionary Journal. what you going to be doing when the revolution comes?
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be fought supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes,
revolution.
Drew Merchant will give away monster balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
afros are going to be trying to straighten their heads, and straightened heads are going to be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes. But until then, you know, and I know, niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
Night descends as the sun's light ends, and black comes back. Blend again. And with the death of the sun, night and blackness become one. Blackness being you, peeping through the red, the white, and the blue. Dreaming of vast black civilizations that once flourished and grew. Hey, wake up, niggas, are y'all through? Drowning in the pull of the white man's fist as you pause for some draws in the midst of shit and ain't got nothing to save your funky ass with. You cool. Round midnight, rapping about how the Big Apple is out of sight. You ain't never had a bite. Who are you fooling? Me? You? Wake up, niggas, and you're all free. And uptown, two roaches are drowning in each other's piss. And downtown, interracial lovers secretly kiss. While junkies are dreaming of total bliss. Somewhere in the atmosphere, far away from here. The Grim Reaper. Save the incarnate, you shout as the lights go out. Cause you ain't paid the electric bill. And the rats and the roaches move on into the kill. As your lips struggle to drain that last drop from the wine bottle. And you roll snake eyes, never realizing that you flew. Wake up, niggas, or you're all through. Sitting in the corner with your mind tied to your behind. Bonafide members of Niggas Anonymous. Never knowing which way you're going. For the late great black man.
Amen.
You niggas understand.
Wake up.
Up against the wall,
wake
black
up.
Maryland farmers.
Wake up.
I'll blow you away.
Wake
and
up.
You'll never live
wake
to see the light of day.
Up.
And the nightstick, with the nightstick, it glides
wake
gracefully
up.
Upside your head.
Wake
that's right,
wake
brothers
up.
And sisters.
Wake
you, the living dead.
Wake
but
up.
The cock crows.
Wake
and the night goes. And it saves
wake
your ass
wake
in the
up.
Nick of time.
Wake
as
up.
You wake up and start to find.
Wake up.
Laying up in bed, scratching your ass and head.
source from which all things come. Security blanket for the stars. Understand what black is. It's not a color. It's the basis of all colors. It is not a complexion. It is a reflection of all complexions called human. And out of this blackness, passion flows like a river. Feelings tell the truth. Song and dance and making you laugh are family members. Understand what black is. The breath you breathe, the sweat on your brow, the cheers and the tears balancing the world on your head. Faith is the glue that holds us all together. This is your blackness, not some horror story of lost souls drifting into the land of perversion. Black as love is a light shining on a path leading to the sun, or caressed in the bosom of the moon. Understand what black is.
Chill and watch the will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Light nigga, dog nigga, faux nigga, real nigga. Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga.
My name is
still nigga. You wanna know what's more important than throwing away money at a strip club? Credit. You ever wonder why Jewish people own all the property in America? That's how they did it. Financial freedom, my only hope. Fuck living rich and dying broke. I bought some artwork for $1 million. 2 years later, that shit worth $2 million. 2 years later, that shit worth $8 million. I can't wait to get this shit to my children. Y'all think it's bougie, I'm like, it's fine, but I'm trying to give you $1 million worth of game for $9.99. I turn a 2 to a 4, 4 to an 8. I turn my life into a nice first week release date. Y'all here still taking advances, huh? Me and my niggas taking real chances, y'all on the gram holding money to your ear. There's a disconnect, we don't call that money over here, yeah. Light nigga, dark nigga, faux nigga, real nigga. Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga. Still nigga. Light nigga, dark nigga, faux nigga, real nigga. Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga. Still nigga.
All right, we're back. Black Think Tank Radio Network, The Revolutionary Journal with Brother Oz. And I'd like to just go over the slate of our shows that we have. You know, if you call up, just press 1 if you want to join the conversation or if you want to sound off about anything. We do appreciate those who either call or either listen after the fact. You know, we're trying to, you know, keep this thing going as much as possible. Even though sometimes, you know, we might get hiccups or, you know, we might miss our time and dates. You know, this is still the people's platform. So with that being said, you know, tonight, of course, we have the Revolutionary Journal, which runs from 8 until 10 o'clock. Then we have Dr. Misty's show. Moments with Misty on Friday nights. That runs from 8 p.m. to 10 o'clock. Then we have Saturday Sound Off with Sister Stephanie. That runs from 8 until 10 o'clock. Then on Sunday nights, we have Check One with Brother Clayton Holmes. That runs from 8 until 10 o'clock. Then on Monday, we have Open for Hope Radio.